So we are continuing with our series going through the New Testament. And as you'll know, we've been going through the book of Matthew the last few weeks. And we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 18 together. Before we do that, I just wanted to share with you what I've been doing the last few days. As many of you will know, I've had the opportunity to go on a retreat to Bardsey Island. There you go, you can see it there. Looks a bit like the Jurassic Park Island, doesn't it? No dinosaurs, no. And we just had a great time. Bardsey is off the Welsh coast and is about 2 or 3 miles off the coastline and completely kind of isolated. It's a place of pilgrimage. In fact, if you've seen the BBC series Pilgrimage recently, it's where their pilgrims were hoping to get to, but the weather was too bad, they couldn't get on the boat. But we, myself and a group of friends, other ministers, were able to go, and we just had a wonderful time of prayer and retreat and fellowship together. You can see just some shots of the island there and some of the places that we stayed in. That's the group of guys that I went with. You can see I'm the sensible one. Imagine that. And the chapel that we spent time praying in when we were there. It's just a wonderful time. God was so good. Just saw some incredible sights, some incredible sunsets in the evening. There's a happy minister there as well. So thank you. I'd love to talk to you more about my time there. So if you're interested, do get in touch. I can bore you senseless with photos and stories of what went on. But particularly if you're interested in retreats, I'd love to be able to share some of that with you. So here we go. Into the book of Matthew, and in particular Matthew 18, and we're going to look at one of Jesus's parables today, and it's a hard hitting parable about forgiveness, and it's so relevant to all of us because there's not a person alive who hasn't experienced the need to one extent or another to forgive somebody else and wrestled with that either in the past or maybe even right now or potentially very soon for some of us. Forgiveness is something that we're all going to have to wrestle and grapple with. And I sort of approach this parable and this topic as somebody who wrestles with forgiveness themselves. Right now I am wrestling forgiveness in my own life and the need and knowing that I need to be able to forgive others, but kind of at the same time not wanting to as well, wanting to hold on to some of that anger and some of that kind of bitterness that can build up to make the other person pay. So I don't approach this as a topic saying it's easy or that it's something that we just kind of do. But I do approach it because it's here in Scripture and it challenges us, and it's a bar that Jesus sets for each one of us that is quite high. So the parable is here in Matthew 18. So why don't we read it together? If you've got a Bible there, why don't you pause and go and grab it? But it's Matthew 18. It'll be helpful for you to have it open as we go through what we're going to look at. But let's read together. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt.
When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owned. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Told you it was hard. It's a hard parable, difficult parable. Paints a picture that perhaps we're not all too comfortable with. Well, we're going to dig into it. And if Jesus taught it, there's something in there. There's several things in there for us to learn. And we're going to look at three points here. Why is forgiveness so important? What exactly does it mean to forgive? And how do I forgive? How do we do it? So first of all, why is forgiveness so important? So let's understand the parable a little bit. In the version I was reading, it talks about a master and servants. In many Bibles, it talks about a king and the servants. And I think I prefer that, the idea of a king and the servant. And the king, of course, has forgiven the debt of this servant. But then the servant goes and finds somebody who owes him money and starts to choke him and punishes a far smaller debt that is owed to him. Having been forgiven a huge debt, he punishes someone for a smaller debt. And at the end of the parable, the king hears what has gone on and he hands the first servant over to be tortured in jail. But there's a double whammy for us here, isn't there? Not just in the story, but there's a double whammy because at the end it says this. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Jesus says this is what Father God will do to you and me, meaning the torturing and the jail part, if we don't forgive other people. I struggle with that. I don't know about you as you hear that. I think, really? Is that really what Father God's going to do? Is Jesus really saying that an unforgiving heart leads to hell? Is that the picture he's painting? If that's the case, what about grace? You know, as we've dug into the New Testament over recent weeks, we've talked a lot about grace and the fact that your salvation, my salvation, is not based on what we do, but on what Jesus has done for us. Here, it seems that Jesus is saying, if you don't forgive, you're going to go to hell. If you forgive, you're going to go to heaven. How does that tie up with grace when it's not about what you or I do? Well, the good news is that isn't what Jesus is saying here. But it helps if we look at another story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. Here in this parable, Jesus talks about sheep and goats. And he makes a distinction. And he says that there are some people who help other people and do good for other people. That they care for the sick and the hungry and the homeless. And they go and visit prisoners. And he says, if that's you, he says, you will enjoy sort of heaven. But then he says to those people, he says, if you don't do those things, he says, then you're going to go to an eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the king in this story also says this. He says to them, when you failed to care for the prisoners, for the poor, for the sick, for the homeless, he says, you failed to care for me. Look at the bits I've highlighted there. You gave me nothing. You gave me nothing. You did not invite me in. You didn't clothe me. You did not look after me. Here in this parable, the king is saying to the people, when you closed your heart to the poor and to the needy, he says, you closed your heart to me. It was like you weren't doing it for me. I think that helps us to understand what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 18 and what the king says in the parable. See, the king, the master, is saying to the unmerciful servant, the fact you never opened your heart to forgiveness proves that you never really opened your heart to me, to my mercy, to my forgiveness. In other words, he's saying to the servant, you've never really understood what I've done for you. You've never understood the debt that I forgave you of. Jesus is not saying, if you forgive, you go to heaven, and if you don't, you go to hell. If that was the case, if that was the deal, then why would Jesus have ever needed to have come at all? He never needed to come to save us if it was all down to what we do or don't do. What Jesus is saying here is that if you don't forgive, it's a sign that you've never really been open to his grace. If you or I refuse, stubbornly refuse, I mean that's important here because this is a servant who stubbornly refuses to forgive somebody else. If you or I have got a stubborn heart when it comes to forgiveness, if we've got a heart that refuses to forgive, then the truth is we've never really understood the grace that Jesus has for you and for me. We've closed our heart to him. It's like we've never really had a deep relationship with him. You know, look at it this way. For those gardeners amongst us, if you've got some apple trees in your back garden, and you've got one that has lots of apples on it, lots of fruit on it, and then you've got another one next to it that has no fruit on it. In fact, it's hard, it's brittle. You would look at it and go, well, that tree with the apples is alive. The one without apples is dead, and you'll get rid of it. But it's not the apples that make the tree alive, is it? Or the lack of apples that make that one dead. The apples are the evidence. They reveal the life of the tree. It's got apples, so it must be alive. I think Jesus is saying something similar here in this parable about you and I. It's our forgiving hearts that reveal the life of our relationship with Jesus. Learning to forgive, therefore, is so important, it's so crucial, because it reveals that our relationship with Jesus is alive. There is no better way to reveal your relationship with Jesus than to have a forgiving heart. Because when we forgive, it shows that we get grace. It shows that we realise we've been forgiven by Jesus. This is why forgiveness is so important. This is why it is so crucial. You see, if you or I choose to stay bitter and angry and vengeful, and we do have a choice to do that, Jesus says here it's the equivalent of being thrown in prison and tortured. But we're tortured by ourselves. It's our own choice. I wonder if you've ever seen that. People who are angry, who are unforgiving. Yeah, maybe that resonates with you a bit. Maybe it's your own heart sometimes. Or maybe it's someone that, you know, people who say, I'm never going to forgive. I'm never gonna love that person again, when they stubbornly refuse. It's like they're in prison. I've met people over the years who have missed out on family events. They haven't gone to them because they can't forgive somebody. They've not gone to weddings. They've not celebrated Christmas. They've not gone on holiday with people because I can't bear to be with that person. It's like they're in prison, a prison of their own making. But the essence of the gospel is this, that you and I have been forgiven an infinite debt, an unpayable debt. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me. Every breath we take, every day that we live is a pure gift of grace from Jesus. That's what the gospel is. So if you or I refuse to show an ounce of the same grace to somebody else, it shows that we don't fully understand the gospel. That we haven't fully understood what Jesus has done towards you and me. But when we do, when we forgive, it shows that we totally get the gospel. It shows that we totally get what Jesus has done for you and me. How can I refuse to forgive and stay angry and lord it over someone or wish them harm when Jesus has set me free? When Jesus meant me no harm. When he could have stayed mad and angry at me. How can I refuse then to show that same grace to somebody else? It's a great, he's passed away now, but a great American pastor and teacher and writer, Frederick Buechner, wrote, he's written some great stuff about forgiveness, but years ago he wrote this. It's a wonderful quote about forgiveness. Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savour to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king. He says this, the chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. How good's that? What a picture it kind of paints. But if we're not careful, we can do exactly that, can't we? We refuse to forgive. We want to stay angry because we want to put somebody else in pain and we think, well, if I give that up, then I've got nothing over them. But we fail to realise that the only person this is harming is ourselves. And we gradually consume ourselves. When forgiveness is so important, because when we start to practice, it means we understand grace. We understand the gospel. We understand we don't want to go to prison. We don't want to consume ourselves in that way. It shows we get the gospel of Jesus. So, what exactly does it mean to forgive? There's one verse in this parable which I think captures the essence of what it means to forgive somebody else. And there's three steps, or three parts if you like, to that essence. Verse 27 tells us this. That the servant's master took pity on him. He cancelled the debt and he let him go. Just one short verse, one short sentence. But there's so much insight, so much wisdom. It captures truly, I think, what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means taking pity on someone. It means cancelling the debt. It means letting them go. If we want to avoid a prison of our own making, if we want to avoid consuming ourselves, the first step in forgiveness is taking pity on the person who has harmed us. And this is hard. This is hard. Now, the word here to take pity, they're pretty loaded, aren't they? If we think about taking pity on someone, we think it sounds a bit patronizing, doesn't it? Oh, poor them, and I'm taking pity. It's almost like a place of power that we're in. But actually, there's a bit more to it. And literally, the words here to take pity, if we were to translate them better, really mean that our heart goes out to them. Our heart goes out to the person who has harmed us. That means that the first step of forgiveness means choosing to feel a little bit of what that person is feeling towards us. It's putting ourselves into their shoes, into their situation. The word really here is empathy for that person. Now this is hard. I think about situations where I'm struggling to forgive, and the last thing I want to do is have any empathy towards that person, to have any sense of feeling towards that person other than wanting to stick one on them. Do you know what I mean? It's hard, isn't it? It goes totally against our natural inclinations. This first step is costly. It's really costly, but Jesus says if we want to stay out of a prison of anger, if we want to stop consuming ourselves, we need to make this first step. We need to have empathy for the person. You see, if we don't, we end up kind of caricaturing them. I wonder if you've ever been on a holiday. You tend to see it overseas, don't you? You'll go somewhere and there's normally somebody on a seafront somewhere on a holiday on the continent doing caricatures of people. You see it in London as well, you know, and you pay them a ridiculous sum of money and they'll make you look ridiculous. Yeah, they'll kind of do a cartoon of you. They'll do a caricature of you, won't they? And sometimes they have pictures around of famous people they've done caricatures of. But the essence of a caricature is that they'll take one aspect, just one aspect of your character, and they will exaggerate it. They'll make it become all about that. So if your nose is slightly bigger, you'll end up with a massive nose. If your ears are slightly bigger, you'll end up with massive ears. If your eyes are big, massive eyes. In my case, muscles, they'll give me massive muscles, you know, and just exaggerate and caricature that bit. Essentially what happens is the picture becomes just one aspect of that person and what they look like. The danger when we don't forgive people, when we don't have empathy with that person, when our heart doesn't go out to them, is that one aspect of what this person has done becomes everything about who they've done. So, for example, if we're struggling to forgive someone who's maybe lied about us, that person becomes a liar. Not just that they told a lie, they become a liar. If that person has maybe hurt us in some way, maybe they've said things about us or they've kind of let us down, they become somebody who's let down everybody. And that's who they are. Rather than maybe just the one time they did that. We then become a saint and we think, oh, I'm the person who's so hard done by. And this person becomes a monster. We've never done anything wrong in this situation. They've done everything wrong. And they're always doing that. And they become this very dark character if we're not careful. And we become this very hard done by, saintly kind of character. But if we start to pray, and if we start to ask God to give us a heart for them, then everything changes. I remember reading about the incredible Christian, Jewish Christian guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who during the war actually kind of plotted to kill Hitler, and he was thrown in prison. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote letters and other words while he was in prison. One of the things he writes about is that he felt, obviously he had so much against the guards and the Nazis who had imprisoned him. And he starts to write in prison that God put it on his heart to start to pray for his guards. He didn't want to hate them. He didn't want to paint them as monsters or as these evil kind of characters. So he started to pray for them. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer's writing, he says that everything started changing. How he saw his guards changed every day. I mean, that's extreme. But maybe if Dietrich Bonhoeffer can do it, maybe you and I can do it as well. We can take pity. Our hearts can go out to these people. We can start to have empathy for them, because that is where forgiveness starts. When we start to see them more as just the hurt or the damage they've caused us. Another great Christian writer, Miroslav Volf. If you've never read any of Miroslav Volf's books, you should do. But again, he writes his whole life was marked by hurt, but also learning to forgive. Miroslav Volf writes this about forgiveness. He says this: forgiveness flounders because I exclude my enemy from the community of humans, and I exclude myself from the community of sinners. You see, when we start to get that right, when we start to say, maybe this person isn't a monster, maybe we start to humanize them again, our heart starts to change. And maybe part of that is saying, do you know what? I'm no saint. I mess up. I hurt people as well. I get things wrong. I'm in need of forgiveness as much as they are. First part of what forgiveness is that we take pity or we have empathy for them. The second thing in that sentence is that we cancel the debt. just as the master or the king did in that story. And this is at the heart of forgiveness. The size of debt in Matthew 18, in this parable that Jesus tells, is important. It's important because it is massive. Now, we need to do a little bit of work on this. In Jesus' day, a day's salary, and you saw this earlier in Matthew, it talks about a denarii. But one denarii was one day's wage. Now, in this story, it talks about a bag of gold. Now, a bag of gold was a talent, and in some versions of the Bible, it describes it as a talent. And a talent was worth 10,000 denarii. So 10,000 days' wages was one talent, or one bag of gold in this story. So, this servant owes the king or his master 10,000 talents. I did a bit of maths on this. That's 100 million days' wages that the servant owed. It's no wonder he was begging for forgiveness. It's unpayable. You could never pay it back. That's why the king says, well, you know, the only option here to start with anyway is that I sell you and your wife and your children and everything that you own, because that might come, well, he won't come anywhere near it, but it might make some dent in the debt. And but that's the point. It's an unpayable debt. He was never going to make it. So in Jesus' parable, the only choice the master had or the king had would be to take the debt on himself and to absorb it. And listen, that is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when you and I choose to absorb someone's debt towards us instead of making them pay. It's the gospel again, isn't it? What's been done for us, an unpayable debt of sin. But that is what forgiveness is, when we choose to absorb someone's debt towards us instead of forcing them to pay. Years ago, when I was at university down in Kent, doing my sociology degree, my parents lived in Essex, I lived down in Canterbury in Kent, and we would often meet up halfway for dinner. It saved me going all the way to see them, or them coming all the way to see me. And I remember I'd started to drive, and I drove this tank of a car. It was an old Cavalier. It was brown. It was wonderful. I loved that car, my first ever car. And I remember driving that up to meet my parents, and they drove to see me, and we ate. And after dinner, we were leaving the car park, and my dad was pulling out in a much newer, nicer car than I had, and he pulled out in front of me with my mum, and we were driving through the car park up to a roundabout to go out, and I got in my Cavalier and I was following them. And I wanted to put some music on. I remember starting to look in the footwell of the passenger seat for a cassette that was on, that had fallen on the floor. So I was kind of driving like this, not really looking what was going on, and crash, and I smashed into the back of my dad's car. It's the first crash I'd ever had. Not had that many, but the first crash, and I'd gone slam straight into the back of my dad's car. Apparently he was saying to my mum in the passenger seat, "What's he doing? He's not even looking." And I went, wham. Totally my fault. And I remember my dad pulling away and me backing out, and my Cavalier kind of wrenched itself out of the back of his car. Not a scratch on my car, it was a tank. But his car was much newer, it had all been made to crumple on impact. Totally smashed in the back of his bumper and everything else. I remember chatting to my dad and just going, "I'm so sorry, so sorry. Can't believe what I've done." But he did what a dad does. He said, "Listen, I've got it. I'll pay for it." He was supporting me anyway. If I've given him money, it was his anyway. But he just said, "Listen, you're never going to pay that. I'll deal with it. I'm not even going to go through insurance, because you can't afford for your insurance to go out." My dad absorbed the crash, but he absorbed the cost of it as well. He paid the price. The cost didn't disappear. There was still a debt. There was still a back of a car that needed replacing, but he paid it. Listen, when people hurt us, when they harm us, when they offend us, we can either make them pay for it, or we can forgive them. We can cancel the debt, and we can absorb the cost ourselves. It may well be financial that someone's hurt us, like in this story. It might be about reputation. It might be emotional pain. It might be the loss of a relationship. It might be the pain of a memory. It could be something far worse. But this is the heart of forgiveness. It's not pretending that something hasn't happened. It's acknowledging, to start with, what has been done. It's acknowledging that there is a hurt, that there is a pain, that there is a debt. It's 10,000 talents worth of hurt and pain. It's not saying it doesn't matter. It's saying, yeah, that thing did happen. But it's also acknowledging that we can absorb that cost. That we can absorb the hurt and the pain. And that can require some great suffering on our part. It can require some real deep work within us, with God, saying this hurts and it's painful and it's difficult. But if we don't cancel that debt, the only other choice we can have is walking into a prison of hurt and pain that we've created for ourselves. We can make them pay for it. We can root for them to hurt. We can get angry and bitter. We can do what the servant did. We can choke them and put them through pain. But it will only end up eventually us being in a prison of pain and anger and bitterness ourselves. It will only end up with us consuming ourselves. Forgiveness is ultimately a choice. It starts with that act of will, saying, I'm going to cancel that debt. And Mark 11 shows us that it's an act of will, that it is a choice. Jesus there says, if you're going to the temple to pray and to worship, and you realise that somebody has something against you or you against them, he says, go and forgive them. He says it immediately. He says, just forgive them. Now it shows us there, it must be a choice. Jesus says, you can do it instantly. So there's an element of choice here. Saying, I don't want to be in a prison myself. I don't want to consume myself. I'm going to cancel that debt. I'm going to let them go. And that's the final point, isn't it? That we let them go. And that's a tough one, but it's a forever choice that we make ultimately. Even when the memory comes back, even when the feelings come back, and they do sometimes, don't they? It can be days, weeks, months, years later, those feelings of hurt. Did they really do that to me? It can all come flooding back. Ultimately, it means letting them go, setting them free, never chasing that debt again. And as we let them go, as we set them free, we're set free as well. Because we're not tied to the memory or to the event of that pain. What is forgiveness? It's realising that we can cancel that debt. It's having a heart that goes out to them. It's cancelling that debt, and it is letting them go. It's easy, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard work. Told you, it's a hard parable. So really quickly then, how do we do it? How on earth do we set about working through those steps? How do we forgive? Well, the best resource in forgiveness that we have, the best thing that you and I have, is the compassion of the King. Because ultimately, that's what this story is all about. The heart of this story is a compassionate and merciful and forgiving King. It's Jesus. You know, the word used most in the New Testament to describe Jesus' emotions is that he was compassionate. more than any other emotion that we hear Jesus having, is that he was compassionate. He was compassionate towards the people. He was compassionate because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is compassionate. His heart goes out to those around him. You know, Jesus' DNA is compassion. And in this parable, Jesus uses the same word to describe the king. Why? Because he's pointing to himself. He's pointing to himself. Jesus is the king in this story. Jesus is the one who is compassionate. His heart goes out to you and me. Jesus is the one who is the great debt counselor. The one who absorbs on the cross the pain and the hurt and the mess of sin. And Jesus is the one who lets us go free. It says, now you can really live your life. Why can I forgive? Why can you forgive? Because Jesus has led the way. He's already done it. He has led the way. And he's walked that path on the cross that cancelled the pain of sin. Cancelled the pain of death. So that you and I can go and be like him. So that you and I can carry on that mission in the world around us. On the cross, Jesus did all of that for you and for me. And if we truly get grace, and if we truly get the gospel, then you and I can go and do the same for others. It's not easy. It's not hard. It's not easy. It's incredibly hard. This is the high bar that Jesus says. You know, at the start of this parable, you know, Peter says, how many times should I forgive? Seven? Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. In other words, he's not putting a number on it. He's just saying, no, you just keep going. You just keep going. He sets the bar high. And if we're truly going to be Jesus' disciples, if we're truly going to walk the path of discipleship and apprenticeship of Jesus. And sometimes there are these moments where he says, now step up. Now step up. Be different to the world around you. He says you live in a world that chokes people. You live in a world where there is so much unforgiveness. He says walk the path of the king. Walk the path that I walked. We forgive because he has already forgiven us. We're going to take some time to reflect on that, to think about it. There's a song of worship's going to come on. Maybe you want to sing along. Maybe you just want to listen and reflect. Maybe there's things in your past that you know where you haven't really forgiven, or where you've walked this path of forgiveness and these things are coming back. Maybe there's a situation that you're facing right now in the present where you know you're wrestling, you're grappling with forgiveness. Maybe it's about reflecting on the future and saying, well, when this comes up, Jesus, I want to be different. I want to be someone who forgives.